It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have 3 square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson and thrilled to be having some great conversations today. I have in studio with me DK Williams with Speakeasy Ideas, The Law. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We were going to talk about impeachment.
Yes.
You just did a recent podcast at Speakeasy Ideas regarding impeachment, the process. There's a lot of talk going on about impeachment, so I think it'd be good to understand it and what your thoughts are on that.
Absolutely. That's got a bit in the news. People might have heard that lately.
I think they have, just a little bit. And then Patty had pulled this. This just came out that the Colorado is asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn the decision allowing presidential electors to vote for whomever they want. And I think it was the last time you were here we were talking about that.
It might have been. It wasn't that long ago on the Law podcast, which is on Speakeasy Ideas. And you can follow me on social media. It's The Law, DKW. That's the Twitter. Okay. And on Facebook, it's The Law with DK Williams. And well, I actually did 3 podcasts on the Electoral College issue and ties in with what Colorado is doing here. There are 2 cases from different jurisdictions that have the exact opposite ruling. So they're in complete conflict with one another. One of them is not going to be right, and one of them will. And Colorado was one of the cases.
Okay.
From 2016, that's when there were 3 electors in Colorado.
Okay.
And these are all Democrats because Hillary won the state of Colorado.
Okay.
So as the Colorado statute is written, and most states, it's written that if or whoever wins the state election will get all of that state's electoral college voters, right?
Okay.
Everybody, I think, is on board with that so far. Colorado has 9. It's the number of congressmen you have, or 2 senators, and then Colorado has 7 congressmen.
Okay.
9 electoral college votes. Well, if y'all remember, there was this nascent movement in 2016 after Trump won.
Right.
And a lot of the Democrats were so surprised they couldn't get their brain around the fact that they had lost. And so there was this talk of, you know what, maybe if we can get some of these Republican electors from the states where Trump won, if some of them aren't happy about this, if we can get some of them to vote for someone else, it doesn't even really matter who, just anyone else. If we can get enough of them to do that to lower Trump's electoral college total below 270, which I always get that number wrong, but I think that's what it is.
I think that's what it is,
270.
Yeah.
Then it'll go to the U.S. House of Representatives and somebody else will be president.
Okay.
So to get that started, a handful of Democrats were like, okay, like here in Colorado, we're supposed to vote for Hillary Clinton because she won Colorado, but it doesn't matter. She's not going to win. So what we're going to do is we're going to vote for somebody else
to
get the momentum going. Say, hey, Republicans, we're going to vote for a Republican, even though we're supposed to vote for Hillary Clinton. Join us. And in Colorado, they voted for John Kasich.
Okay.
2 of them eventually, 2 of them actually were convinced not to do it by Secretary of State Wayne Williams at the time, Colorado Secretary of State. But one of them, Michael Baca, BACA, went ahead with it. So the electors have to meet at a certain place, and they get a ballot. And up until recently, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen for 2020, but in the near recent past, these electors would get a ballot, and it would say for Michael Baca and the other 9 Colorado Electoral College members, it said, who do you want to vote for? Hillary Clinton. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Wow.
It's because that's the way the statute's written.
Okay.
Whoever wins the state gets the Electoral College votes. Baca was one of these people that said, no, he crossed it out. He crossed out Hillary Clinton and wrote in John Kasich.
Okay.
Right? Or Kasich, the Ohio guy, right?
I hear you. Do it both ways. Yeah, I pronounce it both ways too.
Right,
so.
Right. And Wayne Williams said, no, you can't do that. We're not going to accept that ballot because that's against Colorado law. And you knew that, and you're violating your duty here, which you said you were going to do by rubber stamping. That's what the Colorado statute, how it's written, and almost every other state. You got to rubber stamp whatever the popular vote is for that state. Baca said, no, that's not how it's written. The Constitution doesn't say you can tell me who to vote for. It says you guys can select, you guys can figure out how to select the electors. You've done that. But once we're selected, you cannot tell us to do anything at all. And Secretary of State at the time, Wayne Williams, tossed him off the Electoral College based on the Colorado statute and threatened to have him investigated for fraud, for lying about how he was going to conduct himself at the Electoral College vote. So his vote was thrown out. They replaced him with somebody who went ahead and rubber stamped Hillary. All right. Baca sued. He said, you can't do that to me. I'm an elected elector. The Constitution says electors can vote for whoever they want. And he's right about that. And the Federalist College, our Federalist Papers, talk about that. Hamilton, they had a huge debate about how they were going to elect the president. And what they eventually came to was, we'll let states vote for people to vote for the president. That's how it was laid out. Now, in the past 100 years or so, that's not the way it's been done. It's kind of evolved into what we have now, where the states have laws that say you guys have to vote a certain way. So when it got up to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the federal court of appeals between the U.S. Supreme Court and the district court level in Colorado.
Now, I'm very novice here, but isn't the 10th, is that the one that's out of San Francisco, right?
Nope, that's 9. 10 is Colorado. 10 is right here in Denver, based right here in Denver. And it covers Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, Utah, all the surrounding states. And the 10th Circuit, which is a 3-judge panel, ruled in Baca's favor. Now, it was 2-1, so there was a dissenter. There were some technical things about standing and all the and mootness and all that, but they dealt with that, and they said, Baca's right. And they went through the history of the debate around the formation of the Electoral College when the Constitution was written, and they ruled in Baca's favor. No, Colorado, you can't tell the electors how to vote. Similar, almost exactly the same thing was going on in the state of Washington. And there are 3 Democrats, because Hillary won Washington. 3 Democrat electors were part of this movement, and they voted for Colin Powell, if I remember correctly. Anyway, it wasn't Hillary. They voted for a Republican. And in Washington, the statute was a little bit different. It said that the electors have to vote for whoever wins
Washington?
The state. Right.
Okay.
That part was the same. But then it said if they don't, they're going to be fined $1,000. So it's written a little differently. And so these 3 electors in Washington crossed out Hillary Clinton's name, wrote in John Cates, or no, Colin Powell, whoever it was. And in Washington, those votes were counted. So those votes went to Washington, D.C. with all the other states' electors. And those 3 votes were counted. Didn't make any difference in the election.
Okay, David, and just a question on that then. What was the strategy on that? I mean, Donald Trump still got the electors from his states. What was the strategy to do this?
The Democrats were trying to convince perhaps moderate Republicans that were electors to not vote for Trump.
So they were trying to make a deal.
Correct.
Okay, I'm with you now.
Right. So, hey, we're Democratic electors. We'll vote for a Republican if you guys vote for some other Republican. That was basically the idea. There were a handful of Republicans that did that, but only like 2, I think, in the entire country. So it didn't make any difference. But so in Washington state, statute was different. They counted the votes. All 3 of these electors were fined $1,000. So they sued. But you can't tell us what to do. Basically making the same argument that Baca made, but applying the Washington state statute. Well, that they filed that one in state court. And that one went up to the Washington State Supreme Court. And the Washington State Supreme Court came out exactly the opposite as the 10th Circuit Court.
Oh.
Washington State Supreme Court said, yeah, the state can select these electors, which is correct. And as part of that selection process, they can tell you what you have to do. And so completely opposite results. Now, why this is important is because hypothetically, we could have an election in 2020, just a year away, that maybe it comes down to three Electoral College votes, or, you know, some small number. And then that number of faithless electors could make a difference. And if we don't know how we're going to count those, that would really be a problem. You know, and it could happen either way, Republican or Democrat, just hypothetically here. So if one candidate wins by three Electoral College votes, four electors don't do what their state tells them to do and votes for the other person, you have a
It could throw the country into chaos.
Absolutely, it could. Absolutely.
Wow. So this is really important then.
Right. Oh, absolutely it is. And again, it's not likely, but it's very, very possible. I mean, that could, we could be turned into like Argentina or something with different competing claims for the presidency that both have validity. It's just a matter of how we count them.
So this is a really good thing that Colorado is asking the Supreme Court to listen to this case.
Yes. Yes, it is. And Washington has done the same thing. And I hope the Supreme Court does it, because just imagine if this happens and the Supreme Court hasn't decided it yet. And then they decide it. That, I mean, you imagine the George Bush, W. Bush thing, when it, something very different, but there was a whole lot of criticism of the U.S. Supreme Court for deciding that case the way they did when about the Florida Electoral College votes and the ballots. That was a mess. This would be 100 times worse.
Okay, and so the Supreme Court has to say, yes, we'll hear the case.
Yep.
And when would that happen then?
They could come out, I don't know the exact timetable, but I think at any time, They can take it.
Okay.
Because it is, I think normally they wouldn't, I think the normal time schedule for a normal case, they wouldn't hear it before November or October. They wouldn't have an election or a decision before November of 2020. But like in the Bush case, Bush versus Gore, which you also did a podcast on, they heard that in like 3 days.
Okay.
Because it was,
they see how important it is.
Right.
Okay, for the good of the country. Well, okay, well, that's great. Thank you. That was a lot of information
Some
there.
Some basics.
So, yeah, this is, I'm glad to have you here. We'll be talking about impeachment in the third and fourth segment. In the second segment, we will be talking with Sue Miller and Rob Applegate. They are both running for Jeffco's school board, and so we'll want to hear what they have to say and why they are asking for your vote. And as you know, we look at these issues here as freedom versus force, force versus freedom.
Yep.
Ultimately, socialism comes down to force, and if something's a really good idea, DK, you shouldn't have to force somebody, right?
Absolutely.
And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, freedom via force, whether with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. We continue to see the socialization, though, then through regulations and excessive taxation and rules on transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And so that is why we do this show, because surveys show that Americans still really, really like freedom. Thank you to producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie for all your support and good work. Thank you for listening. Each of you listeners, you're treasured, you're valued. Strive for excellence today and do something to take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's KIMMONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Podcasts of the show are there. You can actually go to the show recap, and right embedded in that will be the podcast. It'll take you to this. You know, DK, not everybody gets up at 6 o'clock for the show.
It's hard to believe they should.
But if they don't, so they can go to my website and find the podcast there. And then one of the things that Patty has been doing, she's been researching, she found this thing called Subsidy Tracker. And we're giving you millions of reasons why you should vote no on Proposition CC. And we want to make it clear that we know that in this case, it's BP and other companies we are discussing. They're successful companies. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. If it's better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. And basically what it looks like, DK, is the state of Colorado offers this to these big corporations, you know, and it's hard to say no.
Exactly. That's cronyism. That's how corporatism works.
That's how it is. Yeah. And the state of Colorado through their economic development office is doing quite a job here. And again, that is Good Jobs First, Colorado Tracker. It's Subsidy Tracker. And it said through their Enterprise Zone program, they offered one award as a tax credit rebate to BP America and consolidated subsidiaries. It's a British multinational oil and gas company headquartered in London with a market cap of $125.5 billion. And the state of Colorado gave them breaks in the amount of $9,457,000 during the years of 2011 and 12. BP accepted the package. We started this a week ago Monday, DK.
Yes.
And at this point, the state of Colorado, just through the enterprise zones, has awarded subsidies of $164,282,000. Our point is that if, in fact, Colorado is in such need of money that they are asking for you to give up your Tabor tax refunds forever, you know, everyday hardworking Coloradans, the answer should be no.
Absolutely.
With what they're doing right here.
That.
With what they're doing right here. So.
And one thing that when you mentioned the Economic Development Office, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear that, I kind of cringe because what that is a euphemism for the corporate welfare office.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Picking winners and losers.
Yes.
And so let's go to break. We've got on the line with us Susan Miller and Rob Applegate. They are both running for school board out in Jeffco. And my friends, these local elections are among the most important elections in our country. And I'm very grateful for people that are stepping up to run. And so make sure that you show up, that make sure you vote and encourage your friends, your family, and your colleagues to vote as well. So you may convince them on the question or the candidate, but then you need to make sure that they vote. So this is Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. We'll be right back.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. kim@kimmunson.com.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's kimmunson.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show, and I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com, and that is spelled M-O-N-S-O-N. Thrilled to have on the line with me Susan Miller and Rob Applegate. They are candidates running for Jefferson County School Board. So, Susan Miller, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here. And Rob Applegate, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, first of all, you two are jumping in for school board. I tell you, that's amazing. School board is one of the most important elections that we have. So, Susan, why have you decided to run for school board?
Well, you know, I had four children actually go through Jefferson County Schools, and they had great education through the teachers and administrations that they experienced at their schools. And I just think at this time we really need an independent voice on the school board. There's kind of the not dominant voice right now with a number of members of the school board and our opponents being supported specifically by JCEA. And that means that other voices are not necessarily being heard at the table. And I think it's time that we had other independent voices at the table.
You know, Susan, it's so interesting. I served on city council for 4 years in my town, and I've seen in many school boards, I saw it down at Dr. Cog, which is a bureaucratic agency, on these different city councils, that they are moving towards, they want total consensus. And in doing so, I don't think you get to as good of decisions because you're not deliberating things. You're in more or less just consensus. And so you mentioned independent voice. How are you going to make that happen?
Well, I think that's a very good point. And I think what we need to actually be raising are issues that impact all of us in terms of how our children are being prepared for the 21st century. And so when we look at Jefferson County schools, we can see that our third graders, 75% of our free and reduced lunch, our most vulnerable children, are still not on state standards in third grade. And 44% of our children that are not free and reduced are not on state standards. I don't think that's something that is not something that should be a robust conversation. I think that's something that we should be highlighting and saying we need to be changing that because we want to make sure that our children have access to the opportunities in the 21st century and they don't get a do-over. There's no second chance. There's no opportunity beyond that.
That's true. Hey, Rob Applegate, let's talk with you now. Why are you running for Jefferson County School Board?
So I've got two kids in Jeffco Schools. One's in his second year of preschool, and one's in the iSTEM program in middle school. So I'm going to be involved in Jeffco Schools for
a while,
a few years to come. Yeah. I mean, no matter what happens in the election. I mean, I've got a background in physics, so I do research, and I am looking at all sides of the issues, and I think there needs to be more science-based people in politics and in decision-making, and really, you know, that's why I'm getting in there, because I care about my kids' education, and I think it should be a research and, you know, a fact-based decisions when making these decisions on the school board.
Okay, and Susan, let's jump back over to you. What about teachers? What are you saying to teachers there in Jefferson County?
Oh, well, they're our most valuable resource, right? They're the ones that are working every single day with our children. And I think that we need to be thinking about the more that we ask of them, you know, we just keep saying, okay, there's one more thing you have to do. There's one more lesson that has to be done. We're giving them too much on their plate and not taking anything away that gives them the freedom to actually be doing what they need to do in the classroom. And I also think we need to be paying teachers well. How do we attract the best and the brightest into Jefferson County? And that means talking about raising the, you know, incoming, the first, the teachers out of university to come to Jefferson County. We need to be thoughtful about how competitive we are in that space with others in the front range.
Okay. And Susan, how can people get more information about you or reach out to you?
Oh, great question. They can go to my website, MillerForJeffcoStudents.com. And my Facebook page is Miller with the number 4 students at Facebook, as well as Susan at Miller for Jeffco Students.
Okay, so one time that website, let's just do one thing so that people can focus on that. So what is that website?
It is MillerForJeffcoStudents.com.
And is 4 spelled out?
No, yes, it is.
Okay, so that's Miller.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, MillerForJeffcoStudents.com.
Correct.
Thank you. Again, MillerForJeffcoStudents.com. Okay, great. Hey, Susan Miller, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and Rob Applegate, what about you? What are you saying to teachers there in Jefferson County?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar issues. They're overburdened. They're, you know, they seem to support the mission of what's happening in Jefferson County, but they don't feel supported by the district. Starting salaries, like Susan said, are low. They're not competitive with other districts in the area. They're definitely not competitive with other states. And teachers work pretty hard, you know, educating our kids, and they're the front lines, you know, with our students. So they should be paid more. They should be valued more by the district.
Okay. And Rob, what is your website? If people want more information, how can they reach you? What is your website?
So it's Applegate4JeffcoKids.com, and 4 is spelled out.
Okay, Applegate4JeffersonKids.com, right?
Applegate4JeffcoKids.com.
Okay, that's great. That's good. So one more time, Applegate4JeffcoKids.com.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, very good. Rob Applegate, thank you so much for joining us today. And as I mentioned, these races are so important. I think sometimes people don't pay attention, and sometimes they don't research candidates. And I'm going to be getting my voter's guide out today, Rob, and I don't get over into the whole candidate thing just because I just don't. But I do recommend that people research your candidates. Don't just vote for somebody just because, you know, you heard their name or you like the way their last name sounds or whatever. Do your research, and you have a responsibility to do that. If you don't do your research, then I think the responsible thing is not to vote. So do your research. My voter's guide will be on my website by Saturday morning. We'll be pushing that out. And Rob Applegate, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you.
Okay. And we got on the line Jason McBride. Jason, I can't talk. I can't wait to talk with you. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing just fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. First thing, you know, I didn't get to talk about it, but Hunter Biden, he's had a heck of a week.
Oh, he has. Well, did you see the interview?
I only saw snippets of it. So what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, you can always tell it's going to be a softball interview when they started off with what I like to call the love walk.
And what is that?
Well, that's, you could see him and Amy Robach, they're kind of walking together in the park. There's trees in the background. They're walking. I mean, you almost expect him to reach out and grab her hand and say, I love you, honey. But it's so poignant or poignant or however you pronounce that, and so nice. And then they sit him down. Oh, and you could see a kitchen in the background, like he's just a normal guy in his moderate, modest little house. Now, if that would have been Donald Trump, it would have been a metal chair in a gray room with one bare light bulb above his head. So you can always tell when they're really not gonna get it.
You know, it's so interesting, Jason. You know, we had Victor Davis Hanson on last week, and we were talking. He's written a book, The Case for Trump, and you know, I think that you know this whole Ukraine thing, you know, they tried, what was it? Russia and you know, the whole litany of things.
Right.
And so now it's Ukraine. And Victor Davis Hanson said that from a strategy standpoint, what they didn't realize is every time they said Trump, Ukraine, the next word was Biden. And then you have Hunter Biden yesterday saying, well, I'm not going to be on any of these boards. Maybe I shouldn't have, you think. And so it's just been really interesting to see this whole thing play out.
Well, it has, but it's interesting to see how quick the media forgives Hunter Biden. And then after, I was watching after kind of the interview where, you know, the interviewer gets interviewed by the other news people, kind of, well, what'd you think? And all it was, well, he said over and over he did nothing wrong. You know, I have to repeat, he said many times in the interview he didn't do anything wrong. So they come out and defend him afterwards and validate it as well. So it's still hard for me to understand how they're trying to tear Trump to pieces over this phone call, which was very innocuous. I mean, you could read the transcript of the call, which is not a summary, by the way. It's the whole transcript. But you got Joe Biden right on live TV bragging about how he blackmailed Ukraine if they didn't drop the fire this prosecutor.
It is astounding what is going on out there. We're going to go to break in just a minute, Jason. But one other thing, just the other day, you had mentioned that Medicare signups, I guess it's kind of like required. You have a window here where you need to do that. And if you don't, there can be costs involved, right?
Well, there can. And, you know, today I wanted to talk about how lucky you are if your income happens to be higher and you're paying Medicare premium because... you know, and they talk about they're going to tax the rich. They're already doing a pretty good job of it. A lot of people may not realize that your normal Medicare premiums can be much higher if your income is higher. For example, Kim, the normal premium for Part B is about $135 a month. But if you make, as a couple, over 170,000, that premium starts going up. And if you're lucky enough that you make over $500,000 a year, you're going to pay that 135 premium plus another $325.
Okay.
So you're almost you're tripling or quadrupling the amount you pay, but you're not getting any more Medicare for it.
Don't get me started on Jason. You know that that kind of stuff drives me crazy.
Oh, good. I'm going to make sure to listen to the rest of the show now.
Okay, but it's important to know what's going on. And if you're a baby boomer, 65 years old, right now is the window that you need to make sure you sit down and strategize on this whole Medicare thing. Jason, you and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are specialists in understanding this. And I know that you're open to sitting down with people and doing a discovery session so that you can figure out where they are exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. We can answer questions on this, and we're smart enough when we're doing this planning for people to know that these costs need to be dealt with correctly, integrated into the plan and understood. And we have actual Medicare experts that we work with to help people figure out which plan might be best for them.
Well, it's really important. You know, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So make sure that you're planning it for success there. So Jason McBride, thank you so much. Well, oh, you know what? The phone number, Natalie, I keep telling Natalie, I keep giving your phone number out on the air all the time. And that number over there at Presidential, and Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. Is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Okay, thanks so much. And DK Williams, it's so great to have you in studio here. Really appreciate in that first segment your explanation of this whole Electoral College thing and the Supreme Court thing. That I find that fascinating. And knowing about this just really helps when you hear all of the headlines out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really does, because this is a major issue that should be resolved. And I could have even some more dire potential outcomes that would make a John Le Carré novel seem tame.
Well, let's go to break. If we can get to that, we will do that. But I'd advertised out there that we would talk about impeachment.
Absolutely.
Because that is a subject that is out there, and people need to understand the process and also what you understand would happen if it actually occurred. And all this can be found at your podcast at Speakeasy Ideas, The Law.
Yep, speakeasyideas.com.
The Law.
The Law.
Okay,
yes, we got it.
Okay, great. This is Kim Munson. We're going to go to break. When we come back, DK Williams, we're talking about the process of impeachment.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
D.K. Williams, it's great to have you here. You are with doing things with Speakeasy Ideas.
Great to be here. Yeah, thank you. I've been doing this podcast now. Episode 55 will come out today. I do it every week. They come out on Thursday. And I got some cool stuff on there. Like I did the three episodes on three different cases dealing with the Electoral College, which we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done one on impeachment, which came out last week, because the Supreme Court has laid out what the Constitution says about impeachment, which is in the news. You might have heard
all the time, all the time.
Yeah.
What is the process for impeachment?
Well, I think this is the most important concept that a lot of the talkers on the cable news shows and radio or wherever you might be hearing it need to understand. They don't get this. And the U.S. Supreme Court discussed the impeachment process and the removal process, because I think some people still don't understand those are different things, in a case Nixon versus U.S. Now, it's not the Nixon everybody thinks of, right? Because you think of Nixon and impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't President Richard Nixon. It was a U.S. federal judge, Walter Nixon. And this case came out in 1993.
Okay.
And what happened with Walter Nixon was he's a federal judge and they're all appointed for life, not just the Supreme Court justices, but the trial judges as well. And he was convicted of perjury and sentenced to jail. And he's in federal prison and he's still a federal judge, because the only way to remove a federal judge is by the impeachment and removal process.
Okay.
And he's convicted, he's sentenced, and Congress gets together, they draft their articles of impeachment for this district judge, and they cite the fact that he was convicted of perjury twice. And they submit those articles of impeachment to the Senate for the removal process, which is, the comparison is you've got an indictment charging somebody with doing something wrong.
Okay.
Indictment's a crime, but impeachment is not mm-hmm. a crime. So they get charged, and that's just a simple majority of the House of Representatives puts together the impeachment charges, goes to the Senate, and they have a trial and decide whether or not they're going to remove the person impeached or not. And to remove the person, in this case, this federal judge, you need 2/3 of the Senate, which is 67 votes. I can do that math, because when you got 100, I can do that. And and they did that in this case. Nixon complained about the way the process went down and filed a lawsuit saying they can't remove me. I should still be a federal judge, even though I'm sitting in prison. And the U.S. Supreme Court heard his arguments, and they make this very clear. And you look at the Constitution, the language of the Constitution, which is where you should always go first if you're discussing something that's in the Constitution. What are the actual words there?
What a novel idea.
I know, right? And the Constitution gives the House of Representatives sole authority to impeach. Sole authority. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that means nobody else has any authority, just them. And the exact same language is used describing the Senate's power to remove someone based on impeachment. The Senate has sole power to try that claim.
Okay.
Sole power. And this U.S. Supreme Court, in a unanimous decision, said that means we can't review it. The U.S. Supreme Court, or no federal judge, has any authority to review that process.
And this case in 1993?
Correct. U.S. v. Nixon, about the federal judge, not Richard,
okay.
but the federal judge, Walter Nixon.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so unanimously
yep.
at that time, and so that's going to stick, right?
It's absolutely the law right now. Absolutely.
Okay.
And so.
And you feel it's based on the Constitution?
Oh, absolutely.
You think it's constitutionally right?
Sole authority means no one else has any authority. So
okay.
Congress has sole authority to impeach. Senate has sole authority to remove. And the U.S. Supreme Court said that means we can't look at it. It's a political issue. It's non-justiciable, which means the judge can't hear it. And to put it plainly, impeachment, I mean, this Constitution says it's got to be high crimes and misdemeanors, but high crimes and misdemeanors aren't defined. And they are whatever the Congress can get a majority to vote for.
And it's just a majority in Congress.
For the impeachment, yes.
For the impeachment.
Yeah. For the removal, it's 2/3 in the Senate.
Got it. Okay. And so, and you're saying high crimes and misdemeanors, that's why we're seeing all of this circus about all of these different things. They're trying to get something to stick regarding Trump then.
Right. But a person, a federal official, a judge or somebody in the executive branch like the president, could be impeached for anything. They could be impeached for not taking care of their dog, all right? Because it is a political question. The only only thing that stops or puts any limits on what you can be impeached for is the next vote. It's the next election. So if Congress does something that people don't like, they'll get voted out, or some members of it will. So it's important to understand that this is not a legal process. This isn't like being charged with a crime and you're going down to the courthouse and you have certain rights. You don't in impeachment. Impeachment is whatever Congress can get the votes for.
And the only people that could be impeached, then, you said, is the president?
Well, no, there's a list of executives, people in the executive branch, and any member of the judiciary.
Okay.
Right, right.
Okay. But that would be final, then, for all these folks that you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes, yep.
Fascinating.
Yep. There's no appeal. Now, if Trump is impeached, that's not going to stop his lawyers from filing something. But,
so what would they file?
They would have to get creative on that. They would have to get creative because this U.S. Supreme Court's clear on this. You can't appeal this.
Maybe he could appeal the charges.
Again,
who knows?
Congress has authority, sole authority.
So
that means nobody else has any authority.
So do you think that this is a crystal ball question. Do you think that they're going to vote to impeach him?
It's a 50-50 proposition to me. Again, the only thing that Pelosi is going to consider is the political ramifications of it to the Democratic Party. That's all this is a political movement. And that's the way it's designed. It's supposed to be political because the legislature is, especially the House, is the most responsive to votes because they have them every 2 years, right?
Okay.
And so that's their point. They're supposed to listen to the people that are voting for them. And impeachment, again, that's just a charge. Doesn't mean anything because Clinton was impeached and so was Andrew Johnson. But neither one of them was removed by the Senate, but they were both impeached. It's just an accusation. They weren't convicted of it. And just to make it clear, impeachment and subsequent removal, if it gets that far, is 100% political. That is all it is.
You know, David, or DK, that is so interesting because I always thought that was put into the Constitution in case, like the president did do some really awful thing.
Right.
And I did not realize that was so political.
Well, it would cover that. Yeah. If the president did something really horrible, then there's not going to be any political ramifications for removing him. Right. If everybody goes, oh, this guy's horrible. He did something like Richard Nixon, which just as a historical matter, he wasn't impeached because he resigned before the House could vote on it. So he's the only president who's ever resigned. Impeachment was one day away, basically, from happening. And a group of senior Republicans in the Senate came to him and said, man, we can't defend you on this. If the House impeaches you, you're going to get convicted and you're going to be removed. So if you want to save face or if you want to take control of this, you can resign. Otherwise, you're out.
Okay. And if impeached and convicted, then the vice president is the next person.
That's correct. Right. Yes.
And then after that is the Speaker of the House.
She is third in line. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that is fantastic. Oh, let's go to break. All of a sudden, I've got more questions that just percolated up. So this is Kim Munson. It's the Kim Munson Show. DK Williams is in studio with me. He does these podcasts. You said 55 of them?
Yep. 55 comes out today. Yes.
Cool. And what is it about?
Today, it's a case. It's called D.C. versus Wesby, but it's commonly referred to as the Peaches House Party case. It's about a party in the District of Columbia where people were arrested. They sued for false arrest. And it went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But some of the facts are kind of ridiculous because it's a house party in a vacant house.
Interesting, interesting. And people can find those podcasts where?
Yep. Speakeasyideas.com/thelaw. And it's easy on Twitter. I always post the links there. It's on Twitter. It's TheLawDKW.
Okay, great. This is Kim Munson. We're going to go to break. We'll come back with DK Williams.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
You only have a few days left for three scary movies under the stars. The 88 Drive-In Theater will close for the season Thursday, October 24th. So get there now. Open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. See an independent film that takes place in a drive-in theater. 47 Hours, rated R, followed by Joker and Rambo Last Blood. Admission is only $9 per person and includes all three features. Get directions now at 88drivein.net.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. It is kimmunson.com. That's K-I-M-M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Thrilled to have in studio with me, D.K. Williams.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, you're an attorney. You watch, I mean, you're a constitutionalist or a constitutional expert, I would say.
I may not go that far, but I've read a lot of the U.S. Supreme Court decisions that deal with it. So I'm familiar with that, yes.
Well, impeachment. We're talking about your podcast that you did on impeachment.
Yes.
You've explained the process that, in fact, the House of Representatives could vote to impeach.
Yes.
They only need a majority to do that.
Correct.
Then it would go over to the Senate, and it would be heard like a case, right? A case would be made.
Yes. And that process is entirely up to the Senate, how they want to do that.
Okay.
But yes.
Okay. And then they would vote on whether or not to convict on the impeachment, and it would take two-thirds vote.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. Last week, we had Victor Davis Hanson on. We talked a little bit about impeachment and the strategy that could be employed here. And so let's say that regarding Donald Trump, that the House votes to impeach. They kick it over.
It goes over to the Senate.
And because there's been this change that's been made regarding approval of judges, or how do you, you know,
confirmation?
Confirmation of judges. You only need 51 senators. That possibly the Democrats might make the case that you only need 51 to impeach Donald Trump. What do you think about that?
That's not going to go anywhere. I mean, the approval of judges based after the president nominates them, the Senate has to confirm those judges. The Constitution says the Senate gets to advise and consent. 51% is all that requires. There's no supermajority requirement in the Constitution. To remove someone from office, whether it's a federal judge or the president, in the Constitution, it says it requires two-thirds. They ain't getting around that.
So they're not going to get around that. Okay, because strategically, I looked at that, and you start to see like a Mitt Romney.
A couple of Republicans might
get killed off
on the other side. Sure,
okay.
That might happen. Right.
D.K., we have seen such a kind of trashing of the Constitution.
For about 100 years.
For about 100 years. So you say that that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But my gosh, we have seen really from the Democrat side, and we even have seen some Republicans that don't honor the Constitution. If we get to this impeachment thing, I mean, it could get pretty wild.
without a doubt. It's a political theater. I mean, that's exactly what it is. Everything that goes on in the Congress on either side of it is all political theater. I mean, you see these people that maybe Maxine Walters or some of these mm-hmm. other people, they want to be on TV, and you say outrageous things, and that's how you get on TV. It's how you get clicks, right, on the internet. And they do that because they think it's going to help them get votes with their constituency. And that's the exact calculus that will go into an impeachment. Is it going to help the Democrats? Because they control the House of Representatives. So they get to set that table. They get to decide how they're going to do it. And the only limit on what they can do is the ability to get 51% or 50 plus whatever. And the limit of what they think will happen to them in the next election.
So Nancy Pelosi has quite a challenge with you have AOC in the squad.
Yeah, right.
It seems like that they really want to move towards
some
impeachment.
Some do, absolutely.
So Nancy Pelosi's walking quite a fine line here.
She is, and she's good at it. She's done it for so long. And another potential thing that might happen is if the House impeaches, let's say late next summer.
Wouldn't it?
If it got to late in the summer.
Because the election's just a few.
Exactly, right around the corner. So it's conceivably possible that that Trump could be impeached. So he's been charged, but he hasn't been tried yet. And I don't think there's any way the Senate is going to get 67 votes to impeach him, not based on what we know now. I mean, I just don't see that happening. They don't have enough Republicans that are going to switch over. But he could be pending the Senate trial on Election Day. That could still be pending. So it's possible for him to be impeached, the election happen, with people not knowing what's going to happen in the Senate. It probably won't happen, but it's certainly something that could happen, which would be have an interesting effect on an election.
Okay, so next question then. So let's say that the House votes to impeach. We have the election, and
right.
And because of all the shenanigans, that the Democrats lose the House.
Right.
Could they pull that impeachment back?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. My guess is that they could not. You know, once they've done it, it's now the House has it. So now the Senate has it. And once the Senate has it, the House can't get it back. You know, they've punted it over there, and the other team now has got the ball. So, but I do not know that for a fact. That's a great hypothetical
question. It's like sending an email that you to the wrong person, and you want to bring it back, and you can't do it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay, so this could be extremely fascinating. I could see them doing that because, there's so many distractions in life for everyday hardworking people now.
Yeah.
And so you hear the word impeach, and if you haven't done your research or remember or never learned about it in school, impeach can imply guilt.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Well, like in a criminal case, if someone's been charged with something, there are people that think, well, if you hadn't done anything, you wouldn't be charged, which I think is something we need to not think that way. People get charged with things all the time. Anybody can be accused of anything by anybody at any time. An accusation is not proof.
And you know what? And it happens.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
It's absolutely astounding. So anything else we should talk about in impeachment? We've got just a few minutes left. If there's anything else that we can talk about that, let's hit that.
Yep.
And then, is there anything else?
Just real quickly, we can tie it back in with the Electoral College issue, which we talked about.
That's where
I was going.
Okay.
All right. Our first segment. So if this impeachment issue is still hanging out there in November of 2020, and then we get the Electoral College, and if it's really close, let's say either side, Republican or Democrat, wins by 3 Electoral College votes, and if the Supreme Court hasn't said how we're going to count them yet, because right now there's 2 ways to count them. And Washington's going to say that you have to do what your state tells you you have to do. The Tenth Circuit and all the states in that, they have said, no, you cannot tell the electors how to vote, regardless of how their state votes. So if that is not resolved and the election is flipped because a handful, 3, 4, 5 electors vote against the way they're supposed to, according to their state statute, we would really be in some kind of upheaval with different contestants, different parties claiming having a legitimate argument to be president. And then think about this. Let's say one of the Supreme Court justices dies in this interim. This is where it gets really into the...
like the novel.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly, right. So one of them dies. So now you got 8. And let's say they decide this and it's 4-4. What are people going to do at that point, right? You might have 2 separate White Houses, somebody operating out of a hotel or something, or some office building saying, no, we're the real White House, and then whoever's the
sounds like Banana Republic.
Exactly. It could be that way. I mean, again, this is highly unlikely, but it is absolutely possible. And
wow.
We need to prevent that if we can, and the Supreme Court can do that by deciding this.
Sooner versus later.
Exactly.
Okay, we have just a couple of minutes, so I think that I asked you this question. The electors, though, don't they have to state who they would vote for? And then if they change that, that seems dishonest.
It very well could be dishonest. Absolutely it could be. But, again, this is an issue of saying I'm going to do something. It's a pledge. Some states require you to pledge. I will vote for whoever our state elects in the statewide vote. But that pledge, which can be required, is a question of whether or not it can be enforced. Think about if some president says something like, no new taxes, read my lips, he's made a pledge. Then he goes back on that. There's no recourse except the next election. Right, the next election. Right. So to me, it would be a similar thing. If somebody says, I promise to vote X for president as an elector, and if they don't, they've got to suffer whatever political consequences there are, and there may not be any. You know, but I think if we know, if the electors, people that vote, the elector people, everybody out there who goes to the ballot box, if they know what they're doing, if they know we're gonna vote for somebody who has absolute authority, if we know that, we're gonna start taking it seriously. Because right now nobody takes this, nobody even thinks about it. They just vote for whoever they want to win, and then the rubber stamp process continues down the road. But if we know that we're gonna who we elect matters to be an elector, then we're gonna have to then we'll take it seriously. And then I think if somebody says, "I promise to vote for whoever wins the state election," if someone can be trusted and has enough trust from the people that are voting for that elector, then that person could win. And if they mm-hmm. back out of that, they would suffer that hit to their integrity.
Okay. And how are electors selected?
Every state does this differently. But in essence, and again, if you get somebody who's involved with the Democratic or the Republican Party, they could walk you through the exact steps of how this happens at their state convention. Mm-hmm. But each major party, the Republicans and the Democrats, at their convention, select the nine electors for Colorado. Okay. And whoever wins the state popular vote, if the Republicans win it, those nine are the official electors. If the Democrat wins, those nine are the official electors. Mm-hmm. And so it's entirely an intra-party process in Colorado. Again, those specifics, get somebody with the party to come down there and walk you through that, because I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. And the brilliance of the Electoral College is Colorado has nine votes, and that's because we have seven seats in the House of Representatives and two senators. They did it that way so that everybody would have a voice, even the small states. It was absolutely brilliant. D.K. Williams, great to have you here.
Always a pleasure.
And again, what is that website where they can find these fabulous podcasts?
Speakeasyideas.com/thelaw. And go to Twitter. I always post them there. That's Twitter @thelawDKW.
Great to have you here. Thank you so much. Our quote for today is H.L. Mencken. He says, "Every election is a sort of advance auction sale of stolen goods." Oh, my gosh. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive. I was born free. I was born free. I was born free. The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.